my arm. Look at it. It's not healing.
Do you mean...
I'm staying hurt.
Don't you see the whole world becomes immortal?
And I'm mortal. I don't mend. I'm normal again.
This captain fascinates me. What makes you so different?
I don't know.
And yet, you're the only one left. The only true human. So tell me, what did you give them so long ago?
Why would he want you dead?
The very day that no one's dying? Wish I knew.
Every time you turn up, it always goes wrong.
Where are you from?
Long ago and so far away.
Torchwood. Outside the government, beyond the police. Fighting for the future on behalf of the human race. The 21st century is when everything changes. And Torchwood is ready.
In the United States of America.
Miracle Day.
Miracle Day.
Miracle Day.
Miracle Day.
Miracle Day. That's what it's being called.
Miracle Day.
Dilly gaff, everyone. Welcome to the TARDIS Blend. My name is Greg Davies, also known as CGT2099.
And I'm Tom Cheridar.
And we're hanging out with you, coming to you from geeksofdoom.com, where you get your latest news about movies, comics, television, and all that stuff that we all love. And here on TARDIS Blend, we focus in on the universes of Doctor Who and the related television shows. And at the moment, we're following the Torchwood series, and tonight we're going to be reviewing two episodes, episode 6 titled The Middlemen, and then later we're going to be talking about episode 7. And on top of that, we'll talk up a little Doctor Who stuff, because Doctor Who's coming back this week. So
Doctor Who's coming back this week!
Oh yeah! Bow ties are cool.
I'm so happy.
Yeah. So let's look at The Middlemen, the episode 6 following the disastrous episode 5. I thought this was a return to form, and simply because it gave more meaning to the past episode, my personal rating was 7 out of 10. But Tom, when we were chatting about this before, you were not as impressed with this one as I was.
No, I was still pretty bored. We talked about it afterwards, and I felt so awful that it's all I did for episode 5 was just rag on the show, and I was like, I'm not going to do that. I just kind of felt like it was more of the same. It was like we essentially watched 3 episodes, like 4, 5, and 6, that could have been one episode with all of the action and resolution. And there were fewer things that made me just kind of go, ugh, really? They just did this in this last episode, but. I wasn't really satisfied. It just didn't feel like Torchwood. It felt like a filler episode.
There were elements of that. I mean, there was still some lingering pacing and performance issues carrying over from that previous episode.
Yeah.
Rex and his camera, for crying out loud, was just getting on my nerves. In this day and age, I mean, you know, he'd just use a freaking cell phone or something. You know what I mean?
So yeah, that, and also he, like, recorded his footage, and then Gwen kind of just upstaged him, hardcore upstaged him. So I did think that was very cool. But the bad guy, the crazy dude who I thought was, like, he was overdoing it, what I basically came back in this episode, he wasn't overdoing it. He was just a really good actor placed in a situation where everybody else was kind of, like, ho-hum.
I don't know. I think you're talking about the guy playing Maloney. He was really good. He was slimy, and he was one of those people that just, you know, had no moral fiber and just, you know, he was just an awful person. Yeah. Having said that, though, I mean, the scene where, Esther's fight scene with him,
yeah,
I thought it was nice. I mean, it was honest. It wasn't overblown. It fitted her character pattern. You know, she's pro- probably been behind a desk for years and, you know, hasn't had any agency practice out in the field or anything like that. So, you know, it was a bit of a desperate fight, and I thought that was pretty cool. You know, now let's, I mean, the major spoilers that came out of this episode, and as always, we like to jump into the spoilers first and foremost, was not really anything that happened during the procedure of the actual episode, but right at the very end, during the cliffhanger, it was revealed that Gwen's family had been kidnapped, presumably at that stage by the Triangle Group, and they wanted Jack. The way they did it was that they had access to the Torchwood lenses, which possibly meant that they also had hacked into the Torchwood software too. I thought that was a pretty huge revelation at the end there.
Yeah, it definitely set the stage for me going. I didn't roll my eyes like I did at the end of the last two. I was really kind of excited. Something happened. Hopefully we were going to see a payoff, and hopefully we weren't going to see the payoff immediately upon showing up. You know, like they were actually going to use this talented writing staff and directing staff to give us something cool. And, you know, so the end was probably the most exciting part for me.
Yeah. The highlight of this episode, easily, for me, was Mr. Ghostbuster himself, Ernie Hudson. He played Stuart Owens, the guy working for FireCorp, trying to find out all the stuff that Jack's trying to find out as well. The opening teaser at the beginning, where he's talking to the guy in Singapore, and the guy goes investigates that geography in Singapore, and then the next thing he does is jumps off a building and kills himself. I mean, that whole sequence just sucked me right in. I was like, okay, now this is Torchwood. This is you know.
It was more Torchwood-like. Yeah, yes.
This is what we're used to. This is the, you know, and so that's what I was saying. Like it really kind of started tying things together in terms of the previous episode and this one. You know, if this was considered a two-parter, if you will, with the previous episode, I think I would have liked the first one a lot better. But yeah. I think I'm with you on the whole thing of, like, you know, squeezing it into one episode probably would have been better.
Yeah, I feel like as much as the story, the actual story, because we're not talking about the performances, I'm not talking about the execution, the idea of the overall story. There wasn't enough there. It didn't advance anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all said and done, we still just got like a tiny little piece. You know, here's another piece. Here's some more characters that we're never gonna see again. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just, you know,
it didn't gel for you.
It didn't feel like a good Torchwood episode. Mm. None of them really have. The first episode.
Jack's stuff in this episode was much better than his little ridiculous PR mission to get with Oswald in the previous episode.
Yeah, that was really bad.
You know, I thought his mission to get to Stuart Owens was brilliant. I loved the exposition scene between the two where they were talking about, you know, the mystery behind Miracle Day, how it was all orchestrated through bureaucracy, political, and corporations, and how the middlemen were effectively camouflaging the big bad.
I was told that the miracle involves geography. Does that mean anything?
No. But there is one word that my operatives picked up, dating back to the mid-90s, and then erased.
What is it?
The blessing.
What does it mean?
There was a document from Italy, from a source inside the Council of Ministers, a contact then deceased. It simply referred to the blessing. It said, they have found the blessing.
You know, that wasn't cool. But what was really cool was his little Batman moment at the end where the cops walked in and...
He took the hell off.
Yeah, he just disappeared, dude. I thought that was like... That was really cool.
I think that was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But that kind of portion, I felt like that was supposed to be the meat of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that's pretty weak sauce to build an entire episode around. Because it's like I said, we got a really good actor, Winston from the Ghostbusters. And we didn't really, he's gone. We're not going to see him again.
Well, I don't know. I'd like to see more of him. I've got my fingers crossed we see him again.
Possibly, but it just kind of seemed like he was introduced, and he was the only reason he was put in there was so that they could accomplish that speech that they had, you know?
Well, I mean, they brought up that whole thing about the blessing, didn't they? I mean, that was a new term that, that had popped up. Like, what is the blessing? And so it was a step closer to, you know, what the miracle was all about. Whereas the previous episode had really nothing to do with it. It was more like looking into what people were doing with Category 1 patients. And I think they could have really accomplished that in you know, if they had both episodes as one. Speaking of Ernie Hudson, he kind of brought up a kind of an abstract Doctor Who connection as well. He accused Jack of having an archaic idea of good and evil, which I thought was – I had to have a little snigger at that because I thought it was like, oh, that he was hinting at the whole, you know, how much he'd learned from the Doctor kind of thing, you know, with the whole good and evil kind of thing. So I thought that was a nice little touch there. But that was fairly much it as far as I was concerned, as far as like the stuff that stood out. You know, there obviously were some questions about the blessing and that, but we'll get to that stuff a little later on because in the next episode, Immortal Sins, episode 7, we get a lot more answers than what we were expecting, Tom.
Can I just say, if we were to just do episode 7 as its own podcast, we would have titled it episode 7 where Jack Harkness gets his Harknessness back.
Yeah,
because that's kind of how I felt.
He got his mojo back.
He did, man. Yeah. And I was so like, this episode to me was the crown jewel so far.
Yes, it was. Torchwood back on track, all about Jack, lots of flashbacks. 8 out of 10 was the rating I wrote down here for it. I thought it was really, really, really good. The main spoiler, of course, is basically the entire plot. And this is the kind of...
get to see Jack's past.
Yeah, basically.
Which is something that's really cool that they completely stopped using in the six prior episodes.
And that was a criticism I actually had of not necessarily this episode, but... The series as a whole. I think the series needed more flashback stuff, and I think the entire story would have benefited if it had been distributed across episodes 1 through 7 instead of just having all of it in episode 7. You know what I mean? I think they could have had some significant stuff left for episode 7, you know, leading up to the revelation at the end. So, but anyway, the major spoilers from this episode are related to the actual plot of the episode, and the flashbacks focus on Jack working for Torchwood in 1927 to 28 in New York City area. He meets an Italian immigrant called Angelo, falls in love, takes him on board as a companion, as like the Doctor.
I've got this friend. He's called the Doctor. He explores the world with a companion. Nice. Are you saying that I can stay? Maybe.
The community around him discovers that he's immortal, and they keep killing him over and over, considering him either a miracle or Diablo in the episode. And they take his blood, and a group of three men purchase Jack, maybe something else related to him. And then at the end of the episode, in modern times, we discovered that his former lover, Angelo, is alive and has something to do with Miracle Day. So, I mean, it was a very, very important episode. And, you know, I really think it was excellent. It was a lot of stuff. It was nice to see a little bit of alien stuff in there as well. I know you would have been happy with that, Tom.
I was very happy with that.
Yeah, even if it was just a little moment.
I was happy with that. I was really happy with, more than anything, that, like, you kind of, when you were explaining it, you touched on the fact that he mentions the Doctor, the dynamic. Mm. This is how the Doctor is pure fantasy and Torchwood is reality-based science fiction, which seems kind of stupid and, you know...
Well,
like an oxymoron,
both shows are kind of like the junk science kind of stuff. But I mean, you know, that's what I love about it.
What I say is that, where Doctor Who is about the lightheartedness and the adventure and the story, Torchwood is very much about the humanity of every situation, and in a real world situation, the adult, you know, the adult version of a Doctor Who story was this episode. The reason why in an actual world you couldn't have a companion if you lived forever is precisely what we saw. You know, you would open yourself up, you would leave yourself vulnerable, and someone would stab you in the heart and screw you, and now look what the situation he's in.
Yeah.
And this is pretty huge. Think about it. He's lived as long as he has, he's mortal now, and he has to fix the situation because he's the reason why. We don't know that he's the reason why. I'm guessing, you know, he has something to do with it. You know, we hear Gwen kind of screaming at him, "What did you do?"
Mm-hmm.
And we also see the same thing with the Doctor. The Doctor's small, you know, moving through life has huge repercussions on all of space and time without him actually knowing that it's happening. He comes back and then realizes it, you know, has a, you know, a holy shit moment. But with Jack, it's much different because, again, we're dealing with the humanity, the actual real, you know, humanity, where nothing is going to always be lighthearted and fun versus, you know, being cold and people hating what they can't understand and trying to make a profit and being very opportunistic and screwing it up in the process, you know?
Well, see, that's interesting because I got something else from this episode. And what I got from this episode was that Jack, I think the whole lesson in here as far as the character of Jack is concerned is that he's always on a losing run when he tries to emulate the Doctor instead of being himself. It was very explicit that he was trying to be like the Doctor only to face up to the fact that that choice was going to make, it would turn into disastrous consequences. You know, and he did the same thing with the 456 on Children of Earth. You know, when he tells the Doctor that, you know, he was, you know, he remade Torchwood in honor of him. What happens after that? Well, Torchwood, you know, gets blown up in Children of Earth. You know, I think that was an interesting little aspect to it. I honestly think that you could have had 2 to 3 episodes out of these flashbacks. You know, I wonder why they didn't do that.
I hope we do. I hope that this wasn't the end of the flashbacks. I mean, there's a whole backstory we haven't seen with Angela and the Triangle Group, the three men that we saw at the end.
I'm glad you picked up on that too, because I did as well. I'm getting, I'm just looking at my notes here, and obviously the Triangle Group is actually the symbol of the three men joining hands in a triangle when they agreed on purchasing Jack, or something to do with Jack.
I just don't know what it is.
How much is the butcher asking?
10,000. Not too much for something with so much potential.
And we'd own him together.
A partnership. What do you say?
Agreed.
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 And my guess, my theory is that Jack's blood's been used by the Big Bad or the Triangle Group to cause the miracle. I'm not exactly sure how they accomplished it, but you know, the action or the motion towards what it all had been must have been termed the blessing, which kind of harkens back to that whole miracle Diablo death scene. And that, I mean, that whole sequence of Jack dying over and over again was just phenomenal, I thought. It was like something out of Saw or a horror film. It made me wince in places. It was just brilliant. I thought it was brilliantly done. And so what I'm thinking is this is my prediction anyway. I'm thinking that Angelo has been used by the Triangle Group, and they use Jack's blood to make him immortal, but as a ruse to find out how they can use the blood and profit from it long term and turn Miracle Day on. And when the miracle happened, Angelo's immortality is also reversed, and he's now dying. Because, I mean, when you think about it, if you look at all the other humans in Miracle Day, they're still aging. They're not like Jack. You know, they're still aging.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I would even not be surprised if we saw more flashbacks of Angelo and find out that the Triangle Group just basically has used him as a means to get at Jack, and that he's not actually alive.
I'm not sure about that.
I think he's connected, but I mean, it would actually make me happier if he wasn't, like, a living, breathing... Like, if they were using him, like, he's unconscious and he's already either dead or close to dying. You know? Like, he's not been, like, coherent in decades or centuries or whatever.
Someone at the Gallifrey base forums actually made an interesting observation about Angelo, and that is they made a big deal about the scarring he had on his eye in this episode. And their theory was that he is actually the... Angelo turns out to be the founder of FICOR because the FICOR logo is an eye.
Huh.
So I don't know whether there's any weight behind that or not, but Russell T. Davies has always been big on you know, subtle symbolism in the shows and stuff like that, and it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case. Episodes 6 and 7, this one in particular, both were Oswald Danes-free episodes, which, looking back at it, I think it was a good thing. I didn't miss him at all. Despite Pullman's excellent performances in the first four episodes...
They've misused him.
I thought the first four episodes he was absolutely fantastic, and... you know, but I really thought he wasn't needed in episode 5. I thought that was just a ridiculous thing just to squeeze him in there. So I have no idea as to, you know, what's going to happen. But apparently he's back in the following episode. So, you know, let's hope we see some good performances from Bill Pullman there. The conclusion with Esther and Rex saving the day was absolutely kick-ass. Loved it.
Yeah, I did love that.
Yeah, very well.
This was a good episode.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. It felt like Torchwood all over again.
It did.
And you know, that's why I've kind of got high hopes for the next three episodes. And I'm hoping that what's going to happen, Tom, is when we get to the end of the line, when we get to episode 10 and everything's all said and done, when we look back at every aspect of the story, episodes 1 through 10, I'm kind of hoping that we look back on it and go, oh, okay, so that's the reason why they did this earlier and why they had all this stuff in there. And okay,
I hope so.
It's important.
Great.
Do you know what I mean? And I think I'm hoping that's what happens. So that's my hope anyway. Some criticisms I had about this episode was the pace changes between the Jack's kidnapping scenes and Jack's flashback scenes. They were a little off-putting. I kept wanting to just go back to the flashbacks. You know, and which is why I was saying they should have really spread them out throughout the episodes, or at least, you know, had a couple of episodes about these flashbacks. One thing that pulled me out was there was a logic gap there, and at the end we realized that Esther can view the cache and see who's accessing the lenses. And I was like, well, you know, my IT geek hat went on. I was like, well, you know, if she can see that and see who's accessing it, why wasn't it secured to give them an alert of some kind that someone was hacking into it? You know,
yeah.
So that really pulled me out of it, but that's just me being an IT geek.
Yeah, like I was thinking about that, and then I was also thinking, like, you know, the IT field itself, like, this isn't probably technology that they absolutely understand, and you know, certainly they kind of rerouted it backwards, having Esther be a you know, quick with the hack.
Yeah.
That I was kind of okay with it. I'll give them a pass.
Well, like I said, I'm an IT geek and I picked up on that straight away because it was like, well, you know, security's a big thing. Why aren't you fucking looking after that shit? So,
yeah.
But you know, that's just me being a dickhead. So, you know, what can I say? Now look, I'm going to say this again. There's another homosexual love scene in this episode, and I really hope the British viewers get it this time around. And you know, the love scene I thought was wonderfully handled. Again, like the previous one that was in there, like as a heterosexual male, it's like usually, you know, not that I'm homophobic or anything, it's just a preferential thing. I prefer women to men, and so, you know, I don't find the scene, the love scenes arousing by any stretch of the imagination. But I thought the way Russell T. Davies is handling them in these episodes is just absolutely beautiful, because you can see the connection between the individuals, and it makes a lot of sense. However, having said that, in this episode, I thought that Jack's seduction scene was just ridiculous. That whole thing about, and then what would you do to her, was just like smacked so much of like an internet chat room cyber session. It was all.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not going to knock it, but I mean, like, obviously we're not homosexuals, so and not to say that as a bad term or anything, but because of that, I think there's probably some distance there that we just are not going to understand.
Oh, I don't know, man. He's talking all about someone with a vagina and it's turning on Angelo. I mean, he's supposed to be gay. That doesn't make sense.
Well, they both are.
Well, he's omnisexual. Jack's omnisexual. You know, he'll fuck anything that moves.
True, but I think they've been pushing him more towards men. Like, honestly, like, when's the last time that you saw, and I keep thinking about this, I can't remember the last time that he hit on a girl. The last time, honestly, was like Rose.
Well, that's all done in Doctor Who.
Yeah, but that's the only time. And then they make references and allude to him being gay.
Well, I think in Torchwood, that gives them an opportunity to really play up his one side of his sexual identity, whereas in Doctor Who, where you can't really play up, you know, that with sex scenes and stuff like that, because it's a family show, you know, you get more of a broader omnisexual kind of hint about the guy, which is probably more suitable for Doctor Who, considering you've got a wide age range there.
We've seen him not hit on girls for the last two seasons of the show. And in both of those seasons, we've seen him do nothing but hook up with guys, and Ianto,
Ianto was different. I mean, he loved Ianto.
Yeah,
he loved.
Well, apparently, he loved this guy too.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's interesting too, because I'm thinking
they're playing him as he's not. It's definitely not like they're going to come out and say he's a gay man or a bisexual man, but I do think that he's more inclined to men.
Anything that moves. I am absolutely behind that belief altogether.
Got to get past it.
The words distract the guard heading in my general direction.
I don't think that'd be such a good idea.
Don't worry, I can handle it.
Well, I've gotten to know Algy quite well since I've been in town. Trust me, you're not his type. I'll distract him. Don't wait up.
Relax. He's a 51st century guy. He's just a bit more flexible when it comes to dancing.
How flexible?
Well, by his time, you lot spread out across half the galaxy.
Meaning?
So many species, so little time.
What? That's what we do when we get out there. That's our mission. We seek new life and
dance.
And I've said it before and I've said it again, I am not gay, I am heterosexual, but Captain Jack Harkness, he is the only individual I would go gay for. If Captain Jack Harkness was here, it would be the sloppiest sausage fest you'd ever seen.
Not John Barrowman.
If it's John Barrowman, he's got to be in the Captain Jack Harkness costume.
Fair enough.
I think it's the coat.
You heard it here. Greg's only man crush.
There you go. Doctor Who connections. There were a lot this episode. He really talks about the Doctor a lot. The Trickster's Brigade got a mention, which was excellent, which is a connection to the Doctor Who episode Turn Left. And, of course, the numerous episodes of the Sarah Jane Adventures, of which the Trickster is actually a nemesis of Sarah Jane and appears in a few places. And, that's what's going on there. Now, This is the interesting part, because the fans are going to be arguing about this for the next couple of years, and I wanted to point this out to you, Tom. Jack explains what happens to him, right, to Angelo. He tells him that he's a fixed point in time and space. This seems contradictory because if we're going by Jack's current timeline, the Doctor wouldn't have given him that explanation for another 80 years when he meets him again. Unless Jack's timeline has another episode of him being sent back in time and live history all over again. And I'm waiting for the retcon stuff on this. Now, Jaina Svensson said that he's probably been through more timelines than we realize. Yeah. And somebody over at the Gallifrey base said there's also the possibility that this 1920s version of Jack is actually post-Children of Earth. Like, because we see him disappear into the stars. There's no reason to suggest perhaps even he comes across the Doctor again, maybe in Season 7 of Doctor Who, and, you know, he gets dumped somewhere in the late 1910s, early 1920s or something.
Yeah.
You know, so it seems that this is a new timeline for Jack. This is either his third or fourth run through history. And so that's what it seems like to me by looking at it, because I picked up on that straight away. I'm like, you know, you're Doctor Who historian here, and I picked up on that straight away, and I was like, wait a minute, he's not supposed to know that yet.
Yeah, I kind of just assumed, I guess, that you know, it was somewhere in between where he had discovered what it was and but not before the time where the Doctor disabled his time doohickey.
Well, there's been plenty of times where the Doctor re-enabled it for him, and so there's no reason to suggest that he might not do that again for Jack in a future Doctor Who episode.
And not just that, too, is yeah, that's true, but not just that, but, like, you know, Jack could go off to the side in the middle of danger,
mm-hmm.
leave, do whatever the hell he wants, come back to that point whenever the hell he pleases, and then fix and save the day, and we'd never know.
But that could also explain why he's in America in the 20s, because previously he'd always been in Wales and England and so on in his timelines. Moving to another continent would keep him out of a way of contradicting his previous timelines.
True.
You know.
Very true. Yeah.
So there's a possibility that he actually remains in America all the way from the 1920s through to the beginning of this season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting to me. I just find this continuity stuff interesting, and I'm really interested in finding out to see how they explain that. They probably won't explain it this season, and I think we'll find out more as time goes on. So, answers in this episode. Jack is the cause of the miracle, at least somehow part of the cause. How specifically, we don't know yet, but I think it lays in the question that was asked to him by the assassin in a few episodes ago. What did you give them so long ago? He gave them his blood.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense, and it actually makes it a lot more personal. There was also a lot of religious kind of symbology going on in this episode too, with all the blood and the feet washing and all that stuff. So,
and the being in the church and saying that, you know, it doesn't matter, and let's get, you know, let's bootleg from the church because they're slimy bastards, and
mm-hmm.
and definitely making it known that this is, you know, it made by a known atheist, and I think a lot of Russell T. Davies' views on existence show up in Jack's personality,
which is interesting, because in the first couple of seasons of Torchwood there was this very explicit push for saying when you die that's it, there's nothing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, whereas this time around, you know, especially with this episode, there was a lot of dogma, a lot of Christian rhetoric and things like that, which appears to me that they're either doing one of two things. On the good side of the coin, they're either broadening the scope as far as different belief systems are concerned, or on the bad side of the coin, they're pandering to the largely Christian American audience.
We'll see.
So we'll see how that goes. But the other questions, of course, is still more importantly, is why create the miracle? That still has not been addressed. What's the purpose? Are the three men who started the Triangle Group human or alien? It was another note I had down here.
Yeah, they could be. They could be alien. They were. We also don't know where the package with the mobsters were taking. We don't know where that was going or came from.
Mm-hmm.
We only know that Jack was there specifically to take care of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that he kind of knew about it, and he kind of got, you know, he kind of got caught on purpose so that he could learn about it.
And, of course, with the end of this episode, we realize that the end of this season is coming. I believe that episode 8 is where we're going to get all the answers that we've been wanting and is going to lead into the conclusions and climaxes in episodes 9 and 10. And I will tell you this, I would be prepared to put money on this, and that is the future of Torchwood as a series is most likely going to depend on these last three episodes.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would disagree with you there.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see. You got any Torchwood UK recommendations, mate, for our listeners?
No, it's such a small library. I've gone over everything I think I need to
see. I've got a couple that I put down. One of the things that we talked about with episodes 5 and 6 is that, you know, we were desperate for some alien stuff, and there doesn't seem to be any of that stuff going on with this season of Torchwood. I'm going to recommend based on the previous episode, episode 6 from series 1, which is called Countryside. It's the first Torchwood episode that's not about aliens. And that's really, really cool. Very creepy.
17 disappearances within the last 5 months.
The rift is spreading and it's dumping aliens and psychos wherever it fancies.
Where is everybody?
Torch!
You can't fight them, they're too strong!
Help me! Stop them!
Oh my god.
How many people have been down here?
What did this, Jack?
It can't be human. How far is this going to spread?
And the other one I'm going to recommend is, because of the flashbacks we had on this episode, is episode 5 of series 1, the one before that, called Small Worlds. Now, some people would remember that's the one about the alien fairies, but it's one of many Torchwood episodes that has some Jack flashbacks in it, so it's well worth seeing because of that. The characters had a long, 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 long history, and, you know, there's lots of flashbacks throughout the Torchwood series that gives the fans a chance to learn more about Jack Harkness. We got some comments, mate.
Nice.
We got some comments. We got a comment from Dan. I don't know if this is Opie Dan from Geeks of Doom, but the comment is from a Dan for the last episode. He says, great podcast, gents. Just the sort of thing I'd love to guest on. In fact, so if you'd like a British voice, let me know, Dan. So get in touch with us if you want to be on, Dan. That'd be cool. Jenny Girl 73 is back in the comments, and this is responding to the episode where we were very disappointed with episode 5. We were blasting the show on that episode, and she says, I agree wholeheartedly with your sentiments about the show so far. I always allow illogical things in my sci-fi or favorite shows, but come on, the flight time from LA to Wales is quite long, and oh yes, you're wanted by several governments, so you know travel would be an issue. She says, I'll finish this series only because I have 3 episodes left. I've just watched episode 6, but I'm done with it after this. It breaks my heart to say that too. I love this series, but sorry, Russell, you've done broke it. And by the way, she says, could they put any more makeup on Barrowman? He's not
like that.
He's not looking like his usual hot self. And Transmat Trev is back in the comments. He says, hi, Greg and Tom. Big thanks for the mention on your recent podcast. How brilliant. Further to our recent email, Auntie B, meaning the BBC, very protective about their output. I do understand that Torchwood has very strong links with its parent series, Doctor Who, and therefore kids would be interested to see what the captain is up to after the 9 p.m. watershed. But surely this should be viewed with the discretion of parents and those of us who don't mind a bit of man-on-man action. And he also says, titter ye not, Greg. You owned up on air that you may consider turning for Captain Harkness. So I did that again this episode, didn't I?
You did. That's 2. Mark it.
That's funny. Yeah, mark it down. These gay sequences should be accessible. Really, in this day and age, it's a nonsense. I therefore suggest for the UK a 9 p.m. slot with the offending footage cut and then an 11 p.m. repeat in all of its glory.
I like that. That's
yeah,
a good idea.
Yeah, and he says, the irony is there's so many gay references in Doctor Who, but we don't do it because we're British. He also says, by the way, I made up that Tennant Olympic story. You sneaky guy. But you know what, dude? Trev, it has been going around a bit ever since Tennant appeared in that Doctor Who episode in the Olympic story. So, you know, I wouldn't lose faith in the whole possibility of him appearing doing the flame in the at the Olympics. That would be fantastic. Incidentally, I mean, Geeks of Doom has had some other coverage on the Olympic stuff as well. If any of our listeners out there are metalheads or Iron Maiden fans, if you go, once you finish listening to the podcast, go to the top of the page and do a search for Iron Maiden Olympics. There was a Facebook page set up for a campaign to get Iron Maiden to play at the Olympics next year, which would be absolutely fantastic in my view. So if any of our viewers out there come across like a Facebook page that has very significant numbers promoting the whole David Tennant doing the torch at the Olympics, you know, give us the link in the comments, because if it's got substantial numbers, we'd be more than happy to talk about it on the show. As a matter of fact, if it's got like many thousand view supporters, you know, we'd be happy to even give it a bit more coverage with a post at geeksofdoom.com. If there's a movement out there to get David Tennant there, you know, Tom and I would be right behind that 100%. So, you know, absolutely. So then Trev finishes his comments. Please don't lose faith in Torchwood just yet. Surely Russell has got something up his sleeve. Stay cool. And Trev, I think you're right, mate. I think episode 8 really did restore my faith in the series. I know Tom was very excited about it. And I think we're going to find with episode 8, 9, and 10 that it's going to really kick it up and hopefully redeem a lot of the faults that we picked out in the earlier part of the season. So we shall see. So thanks again to all of you that take the time to listen to the show, but also to those of you who take the time to post a comment. We really do appreciate it. And, you know, if you do post a comment of some stuff that, you know, we think would be worthwhile talking about on the show, then, you know, like we've done, we will certainly read your comment and talk about it on the podcast, because, you know, we appreciate the support that you give us. You know, we're just a little Doctor Who podcast and we do the best we can. And, you know, we really appreciate the support, you know. Like I've told Tom before, like off air when we've done, not just on this show, TARDIS Blend, but also on Social Blend, you know, even if I have one listener that one week, I'm happy. So it blows my
mind. Me too, man.
It blows my mind that people actually, you know, want to take the time to comment on things that we say. I think that's just, you know, it's like the biggest compliment you can get from when you're doing a show like this, you know. It's real.
Yeah, because then it's not just me and Greg just having a discussion that we record.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
it's kind of weird if we know it's just us listening, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. I also want to let everyone know. Of course, everyone knows. All the Doctor Who fans know, but maybe the casual listener doesn't know that this Saturday, August 27th, marks the return of Doctor Who Series 6 Part 2. With the new episode, Let's Kill Hitler. And so what we're going to be doing is Torchwood is going to be continuing with its last three episodes, and Doctor Who is kicking back on. And we are going to continue the TARDIS Blend. What we're going to do is we're going to record it as like one big podcast and split them in two. So you're going to have one show for Torchwood and one show for Doctor Who. And that way, you know, the hardcore fans can focus in and zone in on the Torchwood stuff. But the fans that only really dig the Doctor Who stuff, you know, you don't have to go into the Torchwood stuff. You can stay with Doctor Who. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, split it up to make it a bit more accessible for people in that manner. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun. Lots of previews floating around on the web if you haven't checked them out already. Looks to be a very intriguing return to the series. And you can see some of those trailers up at geeksofdoom.com as well. And so that's what we've got planned, coming up in the next few weeks, Tom.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, and then before you know it, we'll have to start talking about Sarah Jane Adventures too.
Yeah, I got to get up on that, man. I have not found the time to just sit down and kill it, because I've heard they're fun.
Yeah, well, they are fun, but you always need to remember that the Sarah Jane stuff is very much designed for children. It's not a family show. It's designed
okay.
for children.
You're talking to a guy that wakes up early still
watch
to
cartoons.
Be disappointed by the current slate of cartoons. And watching Adventure Time religiously.
Yeah, well, dude, I'm all about it with that. And so I would recommend if you watch maybe the first two or three episodes of the first season. And if it's not your thing, let me know and I'll point out the key episodes that you probably want to check out.
I'm going to do that.
So because there's a few episodes there where David Tennant shows up, and of course Matt Smith showed up in the last season, And of course, there's some key enemies in there. There's one episode with a Sontaran, and there's also the Trickster as well, who's a pretty big deal in some of the Sarah Jane adventures. So, you know, definitely worth checking out if you want a little bit more Who in your life. So there you go.
Who could say no to more Who in your life? Yeah. I don't know anyone.
You know what, dude? There's some hardcore fans out there that are super picky about everything, you know?
I don't know those people, and I choose to believe they don't exist.
Well, a lot of them hang out on forums, which is not surprising.
They certainly don't listen to our podcast, so...
Well, I don't know. I think we might have a few forum users listening to the show out there.
Well, not the naysayers, because, you know, they would have no interest in what we talk about.
Well, you know, if there are naysayers out there, I would hope that you guys out there that are the naysayers, that you comment, because, you know,
well,
there's nothing...
Well, I'm talking about the people who don't like any of the new Who stuff.
You know, that really interests me, because there's a whole, and this goes on with every aspect of fandom, not just with Doctor Who, but you'd see it in Star Trek and Star Wars, and even in music, like with Kiss fans as well. I've noticed this, is that you've always got these naysayers that are like, oh, the new stuff is crap, but I'm still going to watch it anyway. And
that's the way it is, man. It's like, oh, Jesus, man, that Green Lantern's going to suck. You know. But we're going to watch it, so...
Yeah.
Twice, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
And buy the DVD.
Speaking of David Tennant, also, by the way, I want to just let people know, I'll put the link to this in the show notes if you're interested. I did a movie review the other day for Geeks of Doom on Fright Night, in which David Tennant appears. And I was very impressed with the movie. Highly, highly amused and highly entertained, I might add. And David Tennant did very well in the film. There's some fans out there that actually think he stole the show. I'm not one of those people. I think he did very well. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there that were very, very happy with what he did in that movie. And so the David Tennant fans, for you guys in the links, will have the link to the review if you want to check it out if you haven't seen the movie yet. So there you go. And I think that's all we got, mate.
That's it. And
we will catch you all again for another edition of the TARDIS Blend next week. Two episodes next week, one for Doctor Who, one for Torchwood, and we'll catch you then. Tom, a pleasure as always, my friend.
You too, man.
And dilly gaff, everyone.